Our Old Testament reading this morning is Psalm 32. If you'd like to join in your own Bible or a pew Bible, Psalm 32. Before we read God's word this morning, let's go to Him once again in prayer. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, you tell us that the grass withers and the flower fades, but your word stands forever. Father, we pray this morning that as we read your word, your stand forever word, your eternal word, we pray, Lord God, that your spirit would give us ears to hear. We pray, Father, that you would seal your word upon our hearts. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Psalm 32. Blessed is the one whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man against whom the Lord counts no iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no deceit. For when I kept silent, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My strength was dried up as by the heat of summer. I acknowledged my sin to you, and I did not cover my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the iniquity of my sin. Therefore, let everyone who is godly offer prayer to you at a time when you may be found. Surely in the rush of great waters they shall not reach him. You are a hiding place for me. You preserve me from trouble. You surround me with shouts of deliverance. I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you with my eye upon you. Be not like a horse or a mule without understanding, which must be curbed with bit and bridle, or it will not stay near you. Many are the sorrows of the wicked, but steadfast love surrounds the one who trusts in the Lord. Be glad in the Lord, and rejoice, O righteous, and shout for joy, all you upright in heart. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Our New Testament reading is from Matthew 6, verse 12. Matthew 6, verse 12, as we continue our study of the Sermon on the Mount. And forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. When you pray, when you talk to the Father, when you talk to your Father in heaven, Jesus says, pray this. Jesus says, pray, forgive. Forgive. Now, this is the fifth petition. This is the fifth request in the Lord's Prayer, a prayer given by Jesus, a prayer that teaches prayer, a prayer that teaches Jesus' disciples, his followers, what to pray, how to pray to the Father. Forgive is the fifth petition, but it is the second petition that focuses on us, that focuses on our needs, that encompass our request to God. The first three petitions of the Lord's Prayer focus on the Lord. They are centered upon the Lord. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Well, last week, we looked at the first petition focused on us. Give us this day our daily bread. Jesus teaches that we begin prayer for us by asking the Father to provide for our physical needs. Bread. Today. Well, Jesus teaches us to pray, give us daily bread. And now Jesus teaches us to pray, forgive. Give so that we can live, so that we can be physically sustained by nourishment. Forgive so that we can truly live. Really live. Forgive us our debts. Jesus says when you pray, ask the Father to forgive your debts. Now, the Greek word here translated debts is from the economic realm. It's from the world of commerce. It's from the world of finance where you owe. You owe somebody something. Where you are under financial obligation. Where you are in the red. Now, in America, this is almost a way of life. Most of us are going to be in debt for something. At some point in our lives, we're going to have some kind of debt. But Jesus is not talking about house debt, and he's not talking about car debt, and he's not talking about credit card debt or student loan debt. He's not talking about what you owe the bank or another financial institution or even an individual. Jesus is talking about sin. Sin is debt. It's debt to God. Sin makes us debtors to God. Now here's what I mean. Before the foundation of the world, before the foundations of the world were laid, God knew you. He knew you. He created you. He formed you in your mother's womb. He knitted you in your mother's womb in his image. And the Lord has known your every action. He's known your every word. He has known your every thought. He knows the story of your life. He knows your heart. And God created you out of love. He didn't create you because he had to. He didn't create you because he was obligated to. He didn't create you because he was forced to. God wanted to create you. And he wanted to know you. And to be known by you. To be in relationship with you. To be in fellowship with you. Not only did the Lord create life, not only did he create your life, but he also designed how life should be lived. God designed how life is lived best. And that's found in the law. It's found in the Ten Commandments. And it's summarized by Jesus. I mean, we prayed it earlier. Love God and love your neighbor. That's what God designed. That's what God desires for life, and he desires it for your life. As our creator, we owe him our lives, and we're obligated to live as he desires, to live as he designed, but we don't. We don't do it. Now, truth be told, we would much rather do what we want, what we desire. Truth be told, we would much rather live out our design. We all have designs. And we'd much rather live out our own designs and live as if there were no God. To live as if we are in control, to live as if we are in charge. And when we do that, when we do not live as God desires, when we do not live as God designs, when we fail to love, when we disobey God's law, we sin. And it's a debt. It's a debt. Every time you sin, every single time, every time the Lord is not first in your life, every time you fail to keep the Sabbath, every time you fail to honor your parents, every time you lie, every time you desire what somebody else has and you don't, every time you speak in anger, every time you entertain a lustful thought, every time you fail to love, you add to your debt. You're adding to it every single time. And your debt grows larger and larger, and your debt goes greater and greater, and the gap between you and the Lord, between you and your Creator, grows larger and greater and wider and deeper. Now, often there are two reactions to this truth. And there's more, but often there are two. And the first is rejection. The first is rejection. That just isn't true. There is no God. I have no creator. I live as I choose. I am not a debtor. That's the first reaction. The second reaction is determination. And here's what I mean by that. I believe it, and I'm going to work harder. I believe it. I do owe God. And if I work hard at following his commands, if I strive harder to live as he designed, then I can pay what I owe God. I can take care of it. I can do it myself. I can give God what I owe him. Now, the problem with the first reaction is that the existence of God is denied. That's the problem with the first. The problem with the second reaction is that the extent of the debt is underestimated. And not only is the extent of the debt underestimated, but the ability to overcome the debt is overestimated. You have an underestimation and an overestimation. Our sin is greater than we realize and recognize. The debt we owe God is greater than we realize and recognize. It's so great that we can't overcome it. The gap is too large. The truth is we are drowning in debt. We're sinking in sin. And we can't get out. We can't swim to shore. We can't pull ourselves up. We can't bail ourselves out. And as Andrew said earlier, the penalty for sin is death. The penalty for the debt of sin is death. Eternal separation from God. But Jesus says, pray this, forgive us our debts. Forgive us our debts. Ask the Father, forgive us our debts. And here's the amazing, astounding truth. He will. He will. Through Jesus. Now, again, he didn't have to. He wasn't obligated to. He wasn't forced to. But the Father wanted to. He wants to. Out of love for you. Out of love for you, Jesus Christ took upon himself your debt. He took your debt and he owned it. He owned it. He took the debt that you were drowning in. He took the debt that you were sinking in. He took the debt that you could not overcome and he made it his own. He signed it over to himself. As his own. And he took the penalty for it. The penalty you deserved for it on the cross. Through Jesus Christ, your debt is canceled. Through Jesus Christ, you are free. Forgiven. No longer bearing the burden. No longer sinking. No longer drowning. Jesus has raised you up. He has lifted you up with him. And placed you on the mountain. It's like having a mortgage or a huge credit card debt. And one day you get a letter in the mail from your bank, from your lender. And the letter tells you, guess what? We've canceled your debt. We've canceled it. We've eradicated your loan. What would your reaction be to that? At first you'd probably be pretty excited. Then you'd say, wait a minute, there's some kind of mistake going on. I'm going to have to call these guys to see what's going on. But then you call and you realize, nope, it's not a mistake, it's true. Well, then there would be pure joy. Pure joy at this unlooked for, undeserved gift. You didn't know it was coming. You certainly didn't deserve it because you owe. You owe. Well, this kind of freedom from this kind of debt is infinitely better. Eternally better. The Father forgives your debt, and he also gives you an eternal home with him. With him. This is the gospel. This is the gospel. This is the Father's abundant love for you, that you owe him, that you are indebted to him, and that he cancels it out. forgives you of your debt. And he does so at great cost to himself. It wasn't free for the Father. It wasn't as if it didn't cost him anything. It was a great cost to him. It was the death of his son, his beloved son. But through him, you're no longer a debtor. Instead of a debtor, you're a child. Instead of a debtor, you're a son. Instead of a debtor, you are a daughter, and you're made new. All is a gift. That's forgiveness. That's forgiveness. Now, we've talked all about that, but that's not the forgiveness Jesus is talking about in this prayer. That's not what he's talking about in this prayer. No, what we're talking about there is the forgiveness that you get when you first believe, the forgiveness when you first receive Jesus by faith. What Jesus speaks of in this prayer comes later. It comes after you believe. When you're already a child of the living God, when you've already received forgiveness, remember the Lord's Prayer begins with the words, "Our Father." Jesus is teaching those who are already children what to pray, those who have already been forgiven what to pray, those who have already received him by faith what to pray. So the question is, if we've already been forgiven, why is Jesus teaching us to pray it again? Why does he say, pray, forgive us our debts, if we've already been forgiven? Because we still sin. We still sin. We still have debts. When we become a follower of Jesus, our debt is canceled, our sin is forgiven, but we still do it. We have a new heart, have a new identity. We want to live as God desires. We want to follow his commandments. We want to live in love, but our old self still hangs around. Our old self is still hanging around. And there are moments, and there are hours, and maybe there are days when we do what we want to do still. We do what we desire. We still live as if we are in charge, as if God does not exist. And so the battle rages within us, the battle rages within our hearts, and there are times when that old self triumphs and we sin. We once again owe God. And our fellowship with him is broken. Our communion with him is broken. Now, this wasn't as it was before. Before faith, there's complete separation. But it is broken. And when this happens, Jesus says, pray this, forgive. Forgive us our debts. Ask the Father, forgive us our debts. In other words, Jesus says, confess your sin. Confess your debts and confess them by name. Confess the particular sins that you have committed, the laws that you have broken. Confess it to your Father and do it again and again and again and again. Praying this four-word prayer, forgive us our debts. It's a prayer of humility. Praying these four words acknowledges that we're not in control. That we're really out of control. We're not in control. We are out of control. We are in need. It acknowledges that we can't do it. And that we're wrong. It's also a prayer that exposes us. It's a prayer that reveals our hearts. It reveals our struggles before the Father. But it's also together. Together. We pray this prayer together. As children of the Father together. As the church together. We pray, forgive us our debts. This four-word prayer reveals our identity as a community. As a church, when we pray this prayer, we are saying, we're not perfect. We're not a perfect church. We don't have it together. When we pray this prayer, we don't have it together. When we pray this prayer as a church, we are saying we are simply out of control debtors with out of control debt who need Jesus Christ. Forgive us our debts. And no, when you pray this, the outcome of this petition is sure. It's sure. As a child of the Father, He will forgive you. He will forgive you. As children of the Father, He will forgive you. He will cancel your debt. He will restore fellowship with Him. How do you know that? How can you be certain of that? Because He has told us. And He has told us again and again in the Scriptures. And every single week in our service, we remind you that He has told you again and again and again through our assurance of pardon. Every single week. Your Father will forgive your debt. This is good news. This is freedom. And it's good news in a culture that does not forgive. We live in a culture where certain debts stand forever. Forever. Well, that's not so before the Father. And here's your state. Here's your status. Psalm 32 talks about your status. Psalm 32 is our Old Testament reading. And Psalm 32 says, this is you. You're blessed. You're blessed. Blessed meaning joyful. Blessed meaning happy. Blessed meaning a deep-seated joy and an enduring happiness. Verse 1 of Psalm 32 says this, blessed is the one whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. In Jesus Christ, you're forgiven and blessed. In Jesus Christ, you live, truly live, really live. So far in the Lord's Prayer, Jesus is telling us to pray our petitions, give and forgive. Give and forgive. Give us our daily bread so that we might live, so that we might be physically sustained, and forgive. Forgive us our debts so that we might truly live in freedom from debt and from guilt, so that we might truly live in fellowship with the Father, our Creator, so that we might live, truly live in joy. Blessed, striving to live as the Father designed us to. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your Son. Thank you that He has taught us to pray, not only to give, but also forgive. Father, we thank you that though we are out of control debtors, you have canceled that debt through your Son. And thank you that as your children, we can go before you day after day and hour after hour and ask again, forgive. Knowing that you will hear us and knowing that you will pardon us. Father, for such a gift you have given us, we certainly don't deserve. Give us thankful hearts. Help us to realize how blessed we are through your Son. And may we live it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.